majesty, worship His majesty. Jesus who died, now glorified, King of all kings.
All right, as we continue our worship, greet one another.
Worship His majesty. Unto Jesus be all glory, honor, and praise. Majesty, kingdom authority. Go from His throne unto His own, His anthem rings. So exalt, lift up on high the name of Jesus. Magnify, and glorify Christ Jesus the King. Majesty, worship His majesty. Jesus who died, now glorified, King of all kings.
Good morning. How is everyone? Is everybody feeling super today? For a lot of you, you know that today is Super Bowl Sunday. Probably half of you know and half of you don't care. But today is super. Yes, you'll have to compliment Pastor on his tie on a team he cheers for that did not make it to the Super Bowl. But we do want to say welcome, welcome, welcome to all of you this morning. It's so good to see you. We are down today. We have got people that are out sick. It seems like it is still going around, the flu bug, the cold bug. It's just all going around. So we miss those of you that are gone when you're gone for whatever reason. We pray for you. And so this morning we want to lift up in prayer those that are out this morning, especially those that are sick this morning. But those of you that are here, it is so good to see you this morning. And we just say welcome to you all. There are a couple announcements I'm going to briefly touch on. The first one being we've got some changes that are taking place this morning in our children's department. So our kids, our kindergarten through sixth grade, this morning they are going directly from Sunday school into children's church. And that will be the case pretty much from here on out, except for those special Sundays or there's a kid's sermon, they will go directly from Sunday school into children's church. Our preschool age that go to kinder church, they will still come in here to the sanctuary and be dismissed to go to kinder church directly following the pastoral prayer. So just FYI for you parents that have children in our kids department. Directly following service today, we are going to have a quick finance committee meeting. So if you're a part of that committee, please plan on staying. Real briefly, we'll meet in that east side overflow classroom. And then, as I said, today is Super Bowl Sunday, so we've got some gatherings tonight. It is also small groups, so some of our small groups are going to be starting at different times than they normally do, but then we'll also have a regular service here at the church as well. And then I have been misannouncing this for the last several weeks. This Thursday the 9th, not Saturday the 9th, I just assumed that the 9th would be a Saturday, but you know what happens when you assume. Sometimes you're wrong. So this Thursday the 9th, we will be having here at the church a baby shower for Kelly Carricker at 6:30 p.m. It is a chili and soup shower, so there'll be dinner here for you ladies that attend. There is a sign-up sheet out on the Welcome Center. If you are planning on coming, please try to sign up so they know how much to prepare for. And then I was told that Kelly is registered on Amazon and then also at Babies R Us, for those of you that are still looking to get her something. Then this Friday, our teens have another gathering. It's called First Friday Gathering. Technically, it's the second Friday of the month, but we're going to call it the first Friday that they're gathering. So if you have a teen, they'll be meeting at Cody and Heather's from 7 to 11 this Friday. If you need more details, you can see either one of them. Upcoming dates for the month, senior adult lunch on the 16th, and then our all-church Valentine's banquet. Tickets go on sale today. They are $7 a piece, but that will be Saturday the 18th at 6:30 here at the church. We're getting ready here in the next couple months to start a new church year. With that, we have to have a budget for that church year. So those of you that are part of a committee or group that turns in a budget, those budgets need to be in by the 19th of February, because on the 23rd, the Finance Committee will be meeting to go over and approve all those budgets. So please be working on that. Try to get that in by the 19th. This month we are focusing on Summit Intermediate for our Pastries and Prayer School. So I'll be lifting them up in the next few weeks in prayer. Lift up their faculty, staff, and students. And then while we're talking about babies, it's not till next month, but we'll be having another. We've got three different ladies that are expecting in the next few months. So we'll be having a shower for Heather Swearingen on March the 4th at 10 a.m., and it's a brunch. So we'll have more information on that as it gets closer to time. Keep these bulletins handy. We've got a lot going on. Keep them handy so you don't miss out on anything.
Dear God, we pray for the victims of human trafficking, for those who have been dehumanized and held captive by the greed and violence of a broken world, for girls and boys, women and men, who are bought and sold and abused by those who have forgotten the eternal value of a human soul. May they rediscover their worth in you, and may we affirm their worth as individuals who are made in your image. Lord, Reveal the way our choice may play a part in keeping others captives by creating a demand for more slaves, and give us courage to make different choices. Give us eyes to see injustice and exploitation, and give us the courage to speak out against evil. Use us to bring light into the darkened corners of this world, that they may not remain dark forever. May your light expose the evil deeds of the captors, and may your love create a change of heart within those who are captors and perpetrators of human trafficking. Use us to loosen the chains of injustice and to let the oppressed go free. Our Lord and our God, we pray. For an end to the evil that is human trafficking, and we pray that the victims of trafficking may find restoration and healing in you. May it be so. Amen.
We strongly believe that the King of all kings can bring deliverance. Amen. And set free.
Right.
And we hold to that truth even as we come to worship together today. As we do, we invite our ushers to come to receive our weekly tithes and offerings. Father, as we approach your throne this morning, we do so with thanksgiving and praise. And Lord, help us to honor you as we bring our tithes and offerings into the storehouse this day. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Wonderful, so wonderful is your unfailing love. Your cross has spoken mercy over me. No eye has seen, no ear has heard, no heart can fully know how glorious, how beautiful you are. Beautiful one, I love. Beautiful one, I adore. Beautiful one, my soul, my heart sings. Powerful, so powerful, your glory fills the sky. Your mighty words display for all to see. Beauty of your majesty awakes my heart to sing. How marvelous, how wonderful you are. Beautiful one, I love. Beautiful one, I adore. Beautiful one, my soul, my heart. Beautiful one, I love. Beautiful one, I adore. Beautiful one, my soul, my heart
Holy, 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 and we
down. We lay our crowns at the feet of Jesus. The greatness of His mercy and love at the feet of Jesus.
Before, oh my soul.
I worship your holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Well, my soul, worship his holy name. Sing like never before, O my soul, I worship your holy name. Lord, I worship your holy name.
As we go to the Lord in prayer this morning, we want to be mindful of the items that are listed within our bulletin, and there certainly are a myriad of folks that, as this bug or virus or whatever it is goes through the countryside, we never know from week to week who is going to be affected, and certainly we have some folks this morning that have called and let us know that they were going to be unable to be here and handle some of their responsibilities due to this sickness, and so we want to remember them, know in particular of Steve Beechler that has been affected by this. Addie Horn was taken this morning. Marie, that's why Marie's not here, to give attention to her health issues. And then we also want to remember, we didn't get in the bulletin, but Sue Montgomery's mom, Joanna, had a broken hip this week and had surgery. And so you remember Joanna Carter in your prayers. I know that Sue will appreciate that and her family as you pray for her healing. We have church elections and annual meeting that will be coming up at the 1st of March. And some of you will be receiving nominating letters. That committee met last week, and letters will be going out to nominating folks for those positions. Some of you are being communicated with to fill positions on the lay leadership team, which is separate from the church board in those elections. And then also we want to be mindful just of the financial issues committee meeting for budget preparation. We would tell you some very exciting news that while we've only had the pledge flyers out for a week, and while we've just kind of basically mentioned the financial aspect of this capital funds campaign of Mission Possible, that we have set a goal for 15,000 by the 31st of March and 30,000 by the end of June, that we already have $12,050 in hard cash deposited toward that campaign. And so we thank the Lord for that, and we ask you to continue to pray. We are asking that you do this over and above your tithes and offerings, and so we thank you for your faithfulness in your giving to the regular operations of the church. And so God continues to work and to bless and to help. And we have a couple more samples, we think, of chairs that will be coming in this week. We thought they might be here by now, but they hadn't arrived yet. And so there'll be some opportunities there. You can look and see what some of the options are as we try to seek what God would have us to do to create an attractive place to worship. And we've always had lots of compliments on our sanctuary and the atmosphere that it has. And so thank you for your caring and investing in it, taking care of it through the years. But we want it to be a place that we can use in the best possible way to be stewards of God's dollars and multitask what happens here. And that will be kind of a new concept, but it will help us in areas where we've maybe had to go outside of the church before. So a lot going on in those areas. We thank you for your faithfulness and your support. Continue to remember these. It's great to see Alberta is back with us again this morning. She had a second procedure. I know your bulletin says she's going to have one next Tuesday. It was last Tuesday. And indeed, she is in that recovery period. And so you pray for her as she's dealing with this cancer that they found and have removed, and we believe successfully at this point is the report. So we praise the Lord for that, and just indeed pray for her as she continues to have treatment. Cody celebrated Friday evening, had some friends and family over, and celebrated now that he has hit that five-year mark where he's been declared cancer-free. And certainly, yeah, that's great. Thank you so much. God has done a work in their lives, and now we have this miracle baby on the way. And so we're looking forward to adding to our family. And thank you for your prayers and your support as God continues to do many wonderful things in our midst. These altars are open to you this morning, as is always the case, as we prepare our hearts this morning. And whether you have a place you need to lay down a burden, perhaps, or to lift up praise to the Lord today, We just want you to have that place that you can meet with God. We will indeed have communion as we go into the service, conclusion of the message this morning, and just make fresh commitments and to give God thanks for what he has done in going to the cross and suffering that we might have the gift of eternal life. So it's an exciting day, and we're thankful for all that God is doing in our midst. Continue to pray one for another this morning. And so we're going to ask you to stand with us. We're going to sing a chorus, and then we'll go lift our voices together in prayer.
There's nothing worth more that will ever come close. Nothing can compare. You're our living hope. Your presence, Lord. I've tasted and seen of the sweetest of love, where my heart becomes free and my shame is undone. Your presence, Lord. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come from this place and fill the atmosphere. Your glory, God, is what our hearts long for, to be overcome by your presence, Lord. Your presence, Lord. Holy Spirit, you are welcome. This place and fill the atmosphere. Your glory, God, is what our hearts long for, to be overcome by your presence, Lord. Your presence, Lord.
For this opportunity to gather together, we pray, O Lord, that you indeed would fill this place with your Holy Spirit. We've come here today to honor you, to worship you, to yield our lives to you, to say, Lord, speak to us through your word. Tell us what you want us to know. Show us where you want us to go, and tell us what you want us to do. Lord, we just want to be obedient servants to you this day. We thank you for the work that you're doing in our midst, Father. We thank you for the challenge for us to be more intentional about sharing our faith. We thank you, Father, that you have promised us that you would be with us even when we feel or think we may be inadequate or unable. Lord, you have committed to us that you are willing to help us to indeed proclaim the gospel. And so, Father, we come today again just preparing to look into your word and asking you to help us conform our lives to that word and to your image. Lord, that we would follow your example as you yielded yourself to the Father and you were in total obedience. Lord, help us to be one with the Father and with you, as indeed you spoke about in the book of John. Lord, our desire is just to come and to be obedient. And Lord, we don't want to just we don't want to bide our time until the end, but Lord, we want to be out there for your use. And Lord, we just ask you to give us guidance and direction. Lord, we thank you because you are all powerful. We thank you because you're the healer, the great physician. And so, Lord, as we have these folks that are out of our service today because of physical illness, we pray that you would touch them. We pray you'd reach your hand out of heaven and bring healing to their bodies, that you would deliver them from these afflictions and maladies that have come upon them, Lord Jesus, that you would give them complete and total healing. And the Lord, help us that we might all be together in worship again and in your presence as the gathering that you've called out to be Nixa Church of the Nazarene. And so, Father, we thank you. We thank you for our visitors today, and we pray, Father, that they would not feel like visitors, but they would just be part of the family. That we'd be brothers and sisters in Christ, and that they would worship you with us, Father, and that they would sense your presence. And Lord, I thank you so much for the teaching that that my family gave to me as a kid growing up, that I could go anywhere and worship with anyone who believed that you were the one true God, that your word was the authority for life, and that they would proclaim that truth and sing your praises. Lord, I could worship with those folks. And I thank you for that freedom that you gave to me through that message. And Lord, we thank you today as we prepare to sit at the table of communion. Lord, that we're reminded that everyone who has received Jesus Christ as their personal Savior has the opportunity to be a part of that that celebration. And so, Father, we just pray today that as we look into your word, that you would once again speak to our hearts, that you would give us guidance and direction. Lord, as folks have come and offered their needs to you during this time of prayer, laid down their burdens at the altar, lifted up their praises, Father, we know that you inhabit the praises of your people. And so we want to tell you how wonderful you are. It's what we've tried to do in singing this morning. But Lord, we just want to say thank you for all of your blessings. Thank you for your salvation. Thank you for the way you indwell us with your Holy Spirit and give us your companionship every day. Lord, touch the needs of our lives and help us to be your vessel to touch the needs in others' lives. And we'll give you praise and honor and glory for all these things, for you are worthy of our praise. You indeed are holy, holy, holy. And we thank you for who you are and what you do for us today. In Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen. Amen. Have your Bibles this morning. We indeed would encourage you to begin with us in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 17 to 18. And while you're turning to that, let me just tell you about a couple things that that I think one of them is a change to your bulletin. We talked with our folks on Wednesday evening, and on Sunday evening, the 19th of this month, we will be traveling, those of us, that's a small groups night. Some of you will be in your small groups. Those of you who normally come here to the sanctuary at 6 o'clock on Sunday evening, we will be going on that evening at 6 o'clock. We'll be, want to be at the service at 6 o'clock at Scenic Church of the Nazarene up on Scenic in Springfield. They are installing a new pastor. The district has asked us to come and support that installation. And so we have voted and committed to do so with the folks that were here on a Wednesday evening. Several of them, the ones that are here on Sunday evening also were here. And so we are going to be there at 6 o'clock on Sunday evening the 19th. And we will be a part of the support of the installation of the new pastor at the Scenic Church of the Nazarene there in Springfield, while the rest of our others will be in their small groups and things as they normally are. That's what we'll be doing there and then. Also, a change that we're working on, we're going to give this a shot. Those of you who are familiar with our pastor's welcome classes, for the last several years, we've done that on multiple Sundays during the Sunday school hour for 4, 5, 6 weeks, depending on what we had allotted and how we could fit it in. And we're going to make that change on that and see how it works out. Some of you will be receiving letters this week. Those of you who are new over in the last couple of months to the church, you'll be receiving a letter of invitation. And we plan to hold a pastor's welcome class on Sunday the 26th after the dog's dinner. It'll go from about 1 till about 1 to 4, something like that, on Sunday afternoon. And so we're going to try to fit it into a schedule that will be convenient for you and helpful to you. And we want you to be involved, so those of you who will be receiving letters, that will happen on that Sunday afternoon. That will acquaint you with who we are and what we believe and why we do it and those kinds of things. We want you. We're excited about the new folks who have visited us in the last month, and it is our desire as a church, it is my desire as a pastor, for you to understand what you might be getting into. And so we're glad you're here, and we want you to feel at home. And we want to give you that education so that indeed you can make a decision that is directed by God and His Holy Spirit as to whether this is indeed the place that He wants you and your family to worship, where He wants you to be taught the truths of the Word, And so we want to answer any questions you might have. And so that will happen on Sunday afternoon, February the 26th. I hope you can come and be a part of that. And you'll be receiving a letter as to that. That'll happen right after the meal. That is our dog's dinner, which is the Dinner on the Ground Society. For those of you who maybe that's a new term for a new acrostic. So we just want you to know there will be only people there. There will be no wild animals or anything at the dog's dinner. But we'll just have a good time in the Lord. So the last couple, last week we had Reverend Jenny Noriega with us. Wasn't that a wonderful, powerful testimony? How God came into her life and changed her life. We believe that the same God who did that for Reverend Jenny Noriega can do that for any person who is not personally acquainted with Him. That He can change their lives for the better and forever. And indeed, we hope that that people will seize that opportunity. And so we have just kind of been reiterating that point over and over and over again for the last several weeks, and we'll be there again this morning. We posed a couple of questions to you in the last 3 weeks. One in regard to the Great Commission, does this mean me? And we talked about, is everybody responsible to do the Great Commission? Another is, what is required of me? And we talked about the requirement of Scripture in the challenge to do the Great Commission. And so I want to come back with another question this morning and try to give you some biblical perspective as to this Great Commission and the responsibility that we have as a church to share our faith and to give other people who are pre-Christians or not connected to Jesus Christ, to give them the opportunity to get in on the same blessings and benefits that we enjoy. And hopefully they'll see something in us that they would be attracted to and that they would want to know about, and we indeed can share that. So I want to try to answer the question this morning from a biblical perspective. Why am I here? Why am I here? What's my purpose in life? You know, and I believe Paul answers that question as he writes to the Corinthian church this morning. And so I begin with 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 17 and 18. For Christ did not send me to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with words of human wisdom, lest the cross of Christ be emptied of its power. For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. Now, the first thing in your mind might be, now isn't that somewhat confusing or contradictory? Because isn't the Great Commission for us to go make disciples and baptize them? And so why would Paul write this passage of Scripture and use this word and say, Christ did not send me to baptize, when indeed the Great Commission is to go baptized? Well, if you read the previous passage, you find that in the Corinthian church, there was kind of a, this Christianity thing, you see, is really new to the world at this point. Paul has gone and started these churches amongst the Gentile nation and the Gentile peoples. And so there are people that are associating themselves with various teachers. And somewhere along the way, they have sort of missed the point that everybody's supposed to get into a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And so when Paul speaks about baptizing right here, he's not talking about your baptism as a believer into a walk with Jesus Christ. What he's saying is, we've got to get people to stop saying, I'm baptized in the name of so-and-so, or in the name of so-and-so, or in the name of so-and-so, and they're associating themselves with some earthly leader, so as if to say, these people who get into following earthly ministers, and they're not so much interested in what Jesus is going to do in their life personally and being totally obedient and sold out to Jesus Christ, but they're following a person. And so what Paul is saying here is he's saying, I didn't come here to baptize you into Paul. I'm not here for you to think I'm anybody special. I'm here to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. If you want, because the word baptized means to associate yourself with. Okay, if you're baptized in the name of somebody, you're associating yourself with that person. And so you're baptized into the name of Jesus. Anything other than that is not a correct baptism. Because the whole deal is we want every person to come into a personal relationship with and be associated with Jesus Christ. He's the only saving virtue there is. There's nothing else. There's no other name under heaven whereby we can be saved. but the name of Jesus. And so that's what Paul is speaking to here, is the issue that Christ did not send him to say, look at me, I'm somebody special, I'm appointed by Christ to be somebody, and so you should follow Paul because I'm Paul. But he's saying, I'm here to point you to Jesus Christ by sharing the gospel with you. And that's exactly what we're talking about. I've been reading a book in my studies recently called Winning on Purpose. And one of the things stated early in that book is this, and I quote, parting words, especially from someone important to us who we'll never see again, carry a deep significance in universal human experience, end of quote. In Jesus' case, and I quote again, those parting words define the objective of his church until the end of the age, to reproduce the spiritual life Jesus himself had breathed into her, end of quote. And so our objective as a church, our objective as an individual Christian is to proclaim the gospel so that other people become followers of Jesus Christ, and in their enthusiasm for and obedience to Jesus Christ, they too will reproduce other followers of Jesus Christ. That's our objective. And I think what happens sometimes is maybe we get to thinking that life here is about something else. And we forget that our objective is the Great Commission. That's our mission. It is our desire to consider the fact this morning, if you think about this, the call that Jesus Christ gave to disciples at the beginning and the commission that he gave to the disciples as he departed, Acts here one and the same. And so this morning I want us to consider that calling and that commission, as well as the challenge that was left for those disciples, or was given to those disciples, even as Jesus was here on the earth, as we work toward our vision of bringing 64 pre-Christians into relationship with Jesus Christ and make them true followers of Jesus Christ this year and touch 1,200 people with God's love as we go about living our lives, as you go, as you are going. And so I just want us to go back and think for a few moments about the call. And so I'd bring your attention back to Matthew chapter 4. In Matthew chapter 4, verses 18 through 20, we read this as the calling of the first disciples. As Jesus was walking beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon called Peter and his brother Andrew, and they were casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. Come, follow me, Jesus said, and I will make you fishers of men. And at once they left their nets and followed him. The call. Hey you, come with me. Why? You know fishing. I need somebody who knows fishing to fish for men. So you can take what you already know. You can take what you're already familiar with, and I'm going to teach you some things, and I'm going to share some things with you. Instead of just catching fish and feeding people a meal, I'm going to teach you how to fish for men and give them eternal life. Wow. I'm thinking these guys must have been pretty excited about that, because it says, at once they left their nets and followed him. Now, they either really thought this was an exciting proposition or they really hated fishing for fish, because they were doing what Jewish boys are supposed to do. They were following the vocation of their father, and they were working with their father and being connected to him. But for whatever reason, there was something about the person of Jesus Christ, the aura of Jesus Christ, the authority of Jesus Christ when he spoke those words, they couldn't think of any other response. Now, that's sort of interesting because, we don't want to get into that so much this morning, but there are other places where Jesus spoke to people about following him, and they started giving excuses why they couldn't or what they needed to go do before they did. So it doesn't affect everybody exactly the same. There was something, I don't know, I can't explain it, but for these men that Jesus singled out, there was a calling. And with the calling, he didn't say, hey, come follow me and we'll figure out what to do tomorrow. But it was a calling with a purpose. It was a calling with a specific assignment. They were to follow Jesus Christ and find other people to follow him as well. That was going to be their purpose. To share with others what he was teaching them in order that others might follow that teaching as well. It didn't happen just for the disciples, for we can look at the Apostle Paul himself, and we've already heard what he wrote in the opening passage that we shared as text this morning. But indeed, if we go to Romans chapter 1, in verse 1, we find Paul introducing himself in a letter to the church at Rome, and this is how he introduced himself. Paul, a servant of Christ Jesus, called to be an apostle and set apart for the gospel of God. That's what I'm supposed to do. I'm set apart for the gospel. I'm supposed to proclaim the gospel. So everywhere Paul went, what did he do? He proclaimed the gospel. He told about the resurrection of Jesus Christ. He said, you need to follow him. And if you need some help in between, I'll help point you in the right direction. I can do that. Oswald Chambers says, in My Utmost for His Highest, our calling is not primarily to be holy men and women, but to be proclaimers of the gospel of God. And what I fear is this, folks. There's nothing wrong with being holy men and women. We should be. But I think somewhere along the way, we reassigned the primary objective. And we changed the primary objective from preaching the gospel and bringing pre-Christians to be followers of Jesus Christ. And we made the primary objective to be more and more and more and more and more and more and more like Jesus and read more and more and study more and more and go more and more. And we kind of locked in. There's nothing wrong with any of those things. You need to do those things. But all of those things should be the outflow of the primary objective of following Jesus. To be quite honest, if you follow Jesus, if you understand the teachings of Jesus, if you're a student of Jesus, all that other stuff is going to happen because you're being obedient to what he's teaching. But it's easy enough, because we've proved it ourselves, that it's easy enough for a person to become enamored with the teaching of Jesus Christ to the point that we pick a primary objective that's not going out and sharing our faith. We can follow Jesus Christ, we can read his word, and we can get as Christians where our primary objective is no longer making disciples. Galatians chapter 1. And verses 15 and 16. But when God, who set me apart from birth and called me by his grace, was pleased to reveal his Son in me so that I might preach him among the Gentiles, I did not consult any man. The revelation of Jesus Christ in our lives is so people will see him, be attracted to him, and we can give them the gospel. We're not doing the image of Jesus Christ to say, God, look how well I'm following the image of Jesus Christ. Give me some points. I'm going to get into heaven. Going to heaven is a part of being connected to Jesus Christ. And the reason we want to live out Jesus Christ is so that other people will see it, be attracted to it, and the gospel will take place and people will be converted. They will become followers of Jesus Christ themselves. How many of us only think of calling in relationship to professional clergy rather than every New Testament believer? Oh, if you're called, you get paid for it. How many of us realize that it's the calling of every person who follows Jesus Christ to make followers of Jesus Christ? How many of us think of our primary objective in life to be lifting up Jesus Christ for others to see him, be drawn to him. We kind of get sidetracked, not because we're bad people, not because we mean to, not because we want to disobey God, but we kind of get sidetracked sometimes, and we can become obsessed with our primary objective being living life, earning a living, having a job, taking care of the kids. And if something good happens for Christ along the way, that's cool. It's icing on the cake. But the longer I look at this and the more I read this, God basically says, here's the reason you're here. I want to use you to show me to them so we all can be together. So there's a challenge. Jesus comes. He's got these disciples. He's called them out. He says, here's what I want you to do. And he issues a challenge to them. And we find that in Matthew chapter 16. In verse 24. Then Jesus said to his disciples, if anyone would come after me. What did he say? Follow me. That was the call. That was the call. If anyone would come after me. So if anyone would come after me. If anybody's going to answer the call, here's the challenge. If anyone would come after me, he must. Not, it would be nice if he did. Not, this is a suggestion. What does the word must mean? It's an absolute. If you want to be a follower of me, if you want to say you're a disciple of Jesus Christ, you must deny yourself and take up your cross. Can you think of any initially positive things that the cross represents? I know the outcome of the cross is salvation. Jesus' sacrifice. We're going to celebrate that in just a minute. But the truth of the matter is the initial input to the cross is suffering. It's sacrifice. What does it mean to deny ourselves? Make sacrifices. Yet there are people literally that are preaching, if you associate yourself with Jesus Christ and you pray correctly and have enough faith, nothing bad can ever happen to you and nothing but good stuff will come your way and you'll have cars and houses and lands and all that kind of stuff. As if our primary objective is to accumulate stuff here on the world in order as a glorification of God. I'm not finding that. If God blesses you in the process, because I believe he certainly does, there are many people that God has granted wealth to because they know how to do it. They know how to use it. They know how to keep him honored. They know how to keep him first. And there's a lot of people who are wealthy that are lost. They don't even care what God thinks. I know other lost people that tithe on their business because they know the principle works, but they don't want God to be in control of their life. They want his blessing. They just don't want his authority. Self-denial is the challenge. Football coach Bob Zupke said this, an overdose of self-love, coddling of the ego, makes bums out of men who ought to be champions. Forgetfulness of self and complete absorption in the goal often makes champions out of bums. Check out the disciples. Were they on Jerusalem's list of who's who? They were guys that flunked out of rabbi school. That's why they had to go back to being fishermen. That's the way it worked. We've talked about this over and over and over again for the last several weeks. I'm just trying to get to you. God uses ordinary people. Because a lot of times there's less stuff to get uncluttered out of the way so he can get to them. But Paul began to get it. And Paul was a guy who was very obsessed with persecuting the church. But he began to get it. When Jesus Christ struck him down on the road to Damascus, things began to come together for Paul, and he began to write things like this. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 12 and 13. We work hard with our own hands. We are cursed. We bless when we are persecuted. We endure it. When we are slandered, we answer kindly. Up to this moment, we have become the scum of the earth, the refuse of the world. How many of us want to put that on our resume? Oh, who am I? I'm the scum of the earth and the refuse of the world. He's trying to get a principle in their minds. He's trying to get them to understand something about how they value themselves and what can happen if they get to the point where they're not so stuck on themselves. And he writes things like this to the church in Galatia, in Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20. I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. We can look over into the book of Philippians. And we can find in Philippians chapter 1 and verse 21, it says this, for me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Becoming nothing is a good thing. Because then God is everything through me. 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 11. I have made a fool of myself, but you drove me to it. I ought to have been commended by you, for I am not in the least inferior to the super apostles, even though I am nothing. I am nothing. I'm the scum of the earth. I'm the refuse of the world. I die. Paul got it, didn't he? It wasn't all about him. He didn't have to be awarded and recognized and all those kinds of things. When we empty ourselves of ourselves, God finally gets unobstructed full use of us to carry out his purposes. Oswald Chambers said this, "Our permission is never asked as to what we will do or where we will go." God doesn't ask you what you want. God says, this is what I need you to do. Seems like I remember a quote that became quite famous. It went something like this, ask not what your country can do for you, but what you can do for your country. We live in an entitlement society. What are they going to do for me? What are they going to give me? I'm here. I have rights. The reason you're here and have rights is because somebody else sacrificed for you to have freedom. It costs somebody something. And I'm here to tell you this morning, folks, that if we follow the primary objective of carrying out the Great Commission, it will cost you something. Not everybody wants to hear that message. And the truth of the matter is, in order for you to live a life that's surrendered and yielded to Jesus Christ, it's going to cost you something. It'll take some of your time. It'll take some of your money. It'll take a changing of your mindset. It's a surrender of your will. It's a yielding of your person so that you became a vessel that God can use without having to deal with a lot of objections. Surrender and trust. The promotion of the gospel is an ongoing process propagated by those who are convinced that the only thing that matters in life is being connected to Jesus. Following the word and the will of God. When we commit to making disciples, the process begins with proactive outreach to the various cultures. Outreach is mandatory. It leads to public identification with Christ and his people. How's anybody going to know about Jesus Christ if nobody tells them? And culminates in teaching obedience to the commands of Christ, including, of course, his ultimate mandate here to produce more disciples. Proactive outreach, public identification, production of more disciples. That's the process. That's the cycle we want everybody to go through. We want everyone to hear the gospel. We want everyone to accept Jesus Christ, and then we want everyone to go out and promote somebody else following Jesus Christ. It's multiplication. That's how it works. It's the responsibility that's given to us. Jesus taught all kinds of things. We should know the teachings of Jesus. We should read the Word of God. We should go to church and learn. We should be educated in the processes or the ways that are available to us to be educated. Because Jesus said in the beginning, come follow me and I will make you fishers of men. And then he spent 3 years teaching them how to be fishers of men and how to live so that people would see him in them and be attracted to who he was, because he was teaching a whole different philosophy than the Pharisees and the Sadducees and all the other religious community was teaching. He was teaching about how to love people as much as you love yourself and to love the Heavenly Father more than anything. That was a different deal. But people were attracted to it. And so he said, okay, gentlemen, I've done what God asked me to do. I went to the cross. It's finished. Now I'm going back to heaven to sit at the right hand of my Father, intercede on your behalf, and I'm leaving all this with you. And so there was the calling, there was the challenge, and now there is the commission. And we've done this repeatedly, but we go back to it again, that indeed in Matthew chapter 28, verses 19 and 20, therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you, and surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. The assignment was to go. Paul again echoes, he picked this up. You know, he came in a little later than the other guys, but he picked up this same sentiment, and we can find it in Acts chapter 26, where we find him talking about his Damascus Road experience. And again, in verses 16 through 18, he says, now get up, Jesus speaking to Paul, now get up and stand on your feet. I have appeared to you to appoint you. I am appointing you. Paul, this is what I want you to do. I'm appointing you as a servant and as a witness. I'm appointing you a witness of what you have seen of me and what I will show you. I will rescue you from your own people and from the Gentiles. I am sending you to them. That's why you're here. I'm sending you to them. To open their eyes and turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God, so that they may receive forgiveness of sins and a place among those who are sanctified by faith in me. I want you to listen to some people that God had talked through the course of time, and just think about what indeed he said to them. Here's Jeremiah in the Old Testament. He calls him to be a prophet, and Jeremiah is preaching and doing what God tells him to do, and nobody is liking what he's telling them. Nobody's converted because of what he's doing. But this is what Jeremiah says in his writings. Jeremiah chapter 20 and verse 9. But if I say, I will not mention him or speak any more in his name, his word is in my heart like a fire shut up in my bones. I am weary of holding it in. Indeed, I cannot. I got to tell somebody what Jesus did for me. I got to tell somebody about this God who is supreme and sovereign and yet loves every one of us and knows every intimate detail about our lives. That's the kind of guy I want hanging out with me. And the disciples themselves under fire in Acts chapter 4. In verse 20, they're coming to them and saying, you guys have got to stop preaching. You guys have got to stop talking about the resurrection. You got to stop talking about Jesus Christ. Quit healing people in Jesus' name. Stop it. And they said in Acts 4:24, we cannot help speaking about what we have seen and heard. Even if you beat us, even if you throw us in prison, even if you call us names, even if we don't have as much money as we would have had if we hadn't given so much to the ministry of the church, even, you know, it goes on and on and on and on, because I'm committed to Christ. That's the objective of my life. To be obedient. In 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 16 it says, yet when I preach the gospel, I cannot boast, for I am compelled to preach. Woe to me if I do not preach the gospel. I got to tell somebody. This is too good. You can't keep this to yourself. Have any of you ever found a really good deal somewhere and had to call somebody and tell them so they could get in on the good deal too? People pay for advertisements for half price Ozarks. Get $15 worth of food for $7. Tell somebody, it's good news. This is good stuff. get something free. Hey, I went down here and got something free. Go get a free ice cream. They're giving away free ice. Chick-fil-A is giving away free breakfast sandwiches on Wednesday. Go Chick-fil-A. They got good chicken sandwiches with biscuits. We tell people stuff. We email them. We put it on Facebook. We tweet it. We Twitter it. We do all kinds of things. But when it comes to Jesus, that's a personal thing. I can't tell anybody about Jesus. They might live forever. They might go to heaven. They might get blessed. That's their own business. I don't want to get my stuff in their business. Jesus said, follow me and I'll make you fishers of men. Because we're going to get in some people's business. Not because we want to intimidate them or have power over them, but because this will be good for them. This will help them. It will be better for them. This is valuable. We share it with them. We need to tell people, but we do indeed need to live our lives out because actions speak louder than words. In essence, what happens is actions endorse words. Actions prove words. Cody sent me a picture this week. They're getting new t-shirts for the youth. They're gonna name their gathering Shine. And it comes from Matthew chapter 5 and verse 16. In the same way, let your light shine before men that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. Living the life is important. But living the life does not justify not telling the gospel. And telling the gospel certainly isn't going to do you any good if you don't live the life. So it's not an either or deal. It's a both and. The calling, follow me and I'll make you fishers of men. The challenge, deny yourself. Commit yourself fully to me. There's sacrifice here. Give up some stuff that you're chasing while you're living here on this earth because it's really not the most important thing. And it could essentially get in your way if you're not careful. Because why? Well, because here, I just want to remind you, I'm leaving. Go make disciples. Remember that fishers and men thing I talked to you about when I first came here? I'm still on that. Go make disciples. That's what I want you to do. Make disciples. And so as we come to the Lord's table this morning, I'd like for you to use communion this morning as the acceptance of a challenge. Lord, I want to follow you. So it's my responsibility to fish for men. Lord, I heard what you said when you left. Go make disciples. And what you taught us in between was, if we're going to get the job done, there's going to be some self-denial involved. There's going to be some sacrifice involved. There's going to be some cost involved. Lord, I'm in. Because I can't live without you. There's not anything in this world or this life that's worth more than you. So everything else falls behind. Rennie, I'm going to ask you to come this morning, Pastor Don, Cody, Matt. James, I want you to come here. It's all right. Leave your sleeve up. I don't care. We're in and we're going to heaven. I'm glad. But there's a lot of folks out there that aren't, unless we find them and tell them. That's where we're trying to go as a church. We're trying to reshape our mindset. Holiness is still who we are. We're going to be just as Nazarene as we can be, but we're going to be Christians first. And we're going to try to objectify those things that Jesus objectified, which is winning others. Jesus came here for one reason, to seek and to save that which was lost. So what we're about to participate in here, the body and the blood of Jesus Christ, is all about, what are we doing here? We should be here to seek and save the lost. We're not just here to occupy space and time until Jesus comes so we can go to heaven. We're here to share the gospel so as many people as we meet have the opportunity to go to heaven. Okay? And it's different. It means different things. We have different personalities. God understands that. God understands everybody's not going to do this exactly the same way. But it does not relieve us from the responsibility of doing it. And so this morning, we're going to pray. And I'm going to ask these gentlemen to help me with distribution here. And if we need to ask someone else, we'll kind of see where we're at. But here's something I want you to know. We've got some visitors here this morning. We've got some folks that are relatively new to us, okay? So let me clarify some things, because there are some churches that have what they call closed communion. And if you're not a member of that church, then you're not supposed to take from their plates. Okay, so let me clarify something for you here. We don't think that way. Okay? If you're here this morning and know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, sit at the table with us, your family. So as the elements come by, if indeed this morning you know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, and you are thankful for the suffering that He did and the blood that He shed and how His body was broken for you on the cross, and if indeed you're anticipating His soon return, that we can go and be with Him, then I invite you to join with us and sit at the table and take the elements and be a part of this with us this morning. We would be thrilled for you to do that. And we want you to. Okay? So, gentlemen, we're going to pray, and then we're going to ask you if you guys want to get the plates and the trays. We'll distribute amongst the folks here right after prayer. We're going to pray first, because here's the deal. If there's somebody here this morning that for some reason thinks you might not be qualified to receive these elements, or maybe you say, I don't know Jesus Christ as my personal Savior, we're going to resolve that right now, because we want you in. Okay? And so if you're here this morning and you don't know Jesus Christ, or if you're here this morning and for some reason you're thinking, well, I'm not really worthy of taking communion, I can't really take communion, the only thing that should stop you from taking communion is if you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Because this is His table for His disciples. But as we pray, if there's anything between you and God right now, as we pray this morning, would you just confess that to Him and ask Him to come into your heart and to bring you up to date in your relationship? And then we can all sit at the table together, okay? And so I'm going to lead in prayer, and you can pray however you feel led this morning as we prepare our hearts. Father, we are indeed grateful for the privilege and opportunity of being your children. Thank you for being a loving Heavenly Father. Thank you for being patient with us. Thank you, Father, for bringing us out of our pasts and creating for us an exciting future. And thank you for walking alongside us and Father, just teaching us along the way how you want us to act and look and think and all those kinds of things. And Lord, and help us just to love each other in the process. But Lord, if there's somebody here this morning that there's something that's not right between them and heaven, Father, we just encourage them to give that to you right now, just to say, Lord Jesus, I really want you to be Lord of my life. I want you to be my personal Savior. And so, Lord, I just confess any sin that might be in my life to you and ask you to forgive me. Come into my heart and life, for I want what these people are talking about. I want what I see in some of their lives. And Lord, I want to be related to you. I want you to be indeed my Savior and my Lord and my brother all at the same time. And so, Lord, I just receive you into my heart. I accept what you provided on the cross by faith, forgiveness. I accept that this morning. And Lord, I want to be associated with you. I want to be baptized into your name and be a follower of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord, that you love us so much and that you're so willing to embrace us. We love you and we thank you for it in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. We're going to ask you, gentlemen, to begin to distribute the bread and the juice this morning to our folks. We can kind of get on each side of these aisles here. Brother Pat, you want to come help us this morning?